We're going to look very quickly, boy, that sounded loud, at Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to do verses 18 through 22, and I'm going to skip half of what I was going to share and just share the second half, if that's okay. Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22. Jesus, this is right as Jesus is starting his ministry, okay? So he's left Nazareth, he's been in Galilee, and we begin in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. The whole thing today was going to be the tension of obedience and faith. I'm just going to touch on obedience very quickly here. When Jesus said, follow me, I don't know about you all. Again, I'm pragmatic. Like I said, you know, give 80%, but keep 20% as a nest egg, right? So if Jesus says, follow me, I'm probably going to say, okay, but where are we going and what should I take and what will I need? How long will we be gone and all this kind of stuff? And this was just a very indefinite follow me. It was an invitation to follow him. But when he said, follow me, I think we substitute following Jesus sometimes for rules. And he didn't say, come follow me and I'll teach you all the rules. He said, come follow me. Follow my way. Follow what I do. Let me teach you how to love and to serve and to show gentleness and kindness and how to heal and proclaim and do all these things. Follow me. So that was the first thing. But the second thing, where we'll camp for a few minutes, is this part about they left their nets and they followed Jesus. Now, y'all fishermen? Anybody here fish? Okay, we got one person who, okay, we got a couple people who fish. Okay, have y'all ever used casting nets to fish? Okay, you're used to casting net. Casting nets can be relatively small and they can be pretty big. In reading this, the writers believe that it was probably a personal size casting net that was kind of their personal, you know, caster. So it might have been 5 to 7 feet in diameter, depending, but, you know, it was just a net. And what really surprises me is that when Jesus says, follow me, they left their nets. I think if I had been them, knowing the way I think, I would have thought, okay, well, you know, this is easy enough for me to handle. I'll just drape this net around my neck and I'll follow Jesus. And there's many reasons I could think that that'd be a good thing. One is, Jesus didn't have anything. He wasn't carrying a big bag of money, I don't think. So if I saw Jesus says, follow me, I'd think, well, if I take this, then I can fish for Jesus and I can feed him. Isn't that spiritual? I'm gonna fish for Jesus and I'm gonna feed him so he doesn't go hungry. It sounds good, doesn't it? I'll feed myself so I don't go hungry, right? So I don't get it. I don't get the leaving the net behind. But as I think about leaving the net behind, when I think of the net, I think of three things. I think of identity and security and comfort. They were fishermen. I mean, they just weren't Saturday fishermen. They were fishermen. Right? Their livelihood. I mean, when they walked down the street, people knew, those are the fishermen. That was their identity. And leaving those nets meant giving up their identity. Who are you? I'm the pastor of Peace Church. I don't know what y'all do, or what you did, or who your children are, or how you would identify yourself. I'm sure that I'm Sarah Malone. You know, I work with the LIC. I live in China. That's my identity. Not really. See, my identity really is the cherished daughter of the Most High King. Now, you may look at me and you may think, well, I don't see so much to cherish there. But folks, if you've said yes to Jesus, you're his child. Your identity isn't what you do or where you live or who your kids are. Your identity is the child, the cherished child of the Most High King. But I think leaving those nets to me would have been a hard thing because that's an identity. That's who I am. The second thing is security. Like I said, feeding Jesus. If a fisherman has his nets, he's not going to go hungry. Right? That's how they made their living. That's how they built their house. That's how they fed their families. That's how they lived. The security of those nets. And the final thing is comfort. And when I think comfort, I think one is, you know, of course it provided for them, but two, I have a friend who works on cars. And when he has tools in his hands, he is right at home. He's comfortable under a car. I'd never be comfortable under a car. You know, I have friends who are really great with computers. And they're in their element, most comfortable when they have a computer in front of them and they're figuring something out. That is not me. Okay? And for these fishermen, don't you think that those nets just laid in their hands just right, like that tool that the disciples, I mean, that the guy who's a mechanic or the computer, that another, they felt, and when you have those nets, you just feel like, wow, you know, this is who I am. There's comfort in that. And they left that behind. Now, for me, when I think about these things, I think about, wow, I've been traveling for 20 years. What if the Father leads me some, you know, I've been doing this for so long. What will I? That's not my identity. And that comfortable apartment that I have, the security of having a legal visa, those are pretty important things. But the disciples left their nets. And as I think about it, I think this. If one of them had taken his net and wrapped it around his neck and said, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to go. Did Jesus walk down smooth pathways like this carpet right here? He walked through the desert, right? Big rocks and boulders and little rocks along the path. Have you ever tried to drag a net? It just keeps getting hung, doesn't it? I mean, it's going to get hung on anything. Can you imagine wrapping that net around your neck and trying to find Jesus? It's going to get hung. It's going to be flinging you back on your bottom. You're going to be picking it up and say, wait, Jesus, I'm coming, and throwing that net back around you. Jesus walked through the multitudes. Can you imagine carrying that net through the multitudes? People stepping on it, pulling you back, you tripping people. It would have been a mess. Were the fishing nets a bad thing? Are fishing nets a bad thing? No. Could they have been a bad thing? They could have stumbled. They could have been a source of stumbling and distraction. Can things that are blessings become bad things? If I stay in my apartment because that's where I feel comfortable, boy, that's not where I want to be, is it? See, really good things can trip us up and can cause us to stumble. And when we have the good thing, when we first have it, doesn't seem... I have some friends who are, right now, they're car poor. They can't do anything because they bought a car that they really didn't need that kind of a car, a Mercedes. They didn't need the Mercedes necessarily. It's a cool car to have. But now they can't do anything. There's nothing wrong with a Mercedes. But boy, if it keeps you from following Jesus, there's something wrong. Nothing wrong with a new house. But if it keeps us from following Jesus, there's nothing wrong with the things that we enjoy doing, like fishing and things like that. But if it keeps us from following Jesus, it becomes a bad thing. as I've looked at the things in my life right now that I know as I go back will be changing. You know, I think I have to be more like the disciples and just be willing to let it all go. Now, you know, there's that song that everybody sang last year, Let It Go, Let It Go. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when I say that. But when I hear the words of that song, I'm thinking theologically, that's not a very good song. And I always think about things like that in a weird way. But anyway, I know I'm weird. But we have to be willing to let go of these things, the good things even, just to kind of open our hands and say, okay, God, if you want me to have it, then okay. But if it's something that needs to be stripped away, would you just help me to just kind of drop my hands and let it go? Because the disciples needed to be following Jesus, running hard after him. And those nets would have just tripped them up every time. So I know what the things are in my life that I have to hold loosely. I don't know if there are things in your life you have to hold loosely. But I want to encourage you. Today we sang about surrender. I was telling the kids at camp last week, to me, surrender isn't a one-time thing that I do and go to China. Surrender's every day. It's every day. Because every day I don't get up feeling it. So every day, it's kind of like, okay, here we go again for this day. It's your day, not my day. Help me to walk through this day to bring glory and honor to you. Do I do it well every day? No, I don't. Does my God forgive me? Yes, he does. And we wake up the next day and we go again, right? Following hard after Jesus. Because there's really nothing else. It's all about him.